One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drospec. We are making our way towards the end of the year here, which means we are making our way towards the end of season two of the podcast, which feels crazy to me. I know that's how time works. It's been a year and a half of doing the show, end of the second calendar year that the show has been in existence, and that means I'm about to take my winter break. So I'm bringing this up at the beginning of the show to let all of you know that next week's episode will be my last episode of the year. I'm going to take a few weeks off to reset my brain, do some little, you know, internal creative work, get a little dreamy, spend time with myself, with my family, with my friends. And then I'll see you guys in the new year. So you have me this week, and the next week you will have me and a very special guest, a sort of like a cherry on top episode for the end of the year, the end of season two. Crazy Town USA, though, when I'm editing these episodes and I'm, you know, I'm titling them and saving the files on my computer, when I'm writing the number of the episode, I'm like, that's crazy. This is episode 61. Like, how do we get here? That's 61 hours more. Because we've had some episodes that are like 2+ hours. 61 more hours of me just, I don't know, talking about God knows what. How fun is that? How fun and weird is that to do this as a job? Bizarre. Love it. Live for it. Thank you so much. Spotify Wrapped came out this past week. And my Spotify, I guess it was not surprising. I kind of expected this is going to happen this year, but my Spotify Wrapped this year was different than it had been any years before. And it's because this year my Spotify Wrapped did not include my two favorite artists, which I had a feeling was going to happen just because I knew what artists I was fixated on this year. So I was like, okay, these artists had albums come out that I was really fixated on that I played a lot. They'll probably end up being my top artists. And my two all-time favorite artists haven't released new music recently. So I was like, naturally, I feel like they're going to get knocked out here. But it's never happened before. But this was the first year that Lady Gaga and the Wombats were not in my top artists of the year. Every year, Lady Gaga is my number one, and this year she wasn't. This year it was Miss Renee Rapp. So if you didn't know I was bisexual before, you do now, bitch. I was in Cambridge with the rest of y'all bitches, okay? But it was, my number one was Renee Rapp. Number two was Olivia Rodrigo. Number three was Chapel Roan. Four was Hemlock Springs, and five was Charlie XCX. Charlie's usually on my top five. Renee, Olivia, Chapel, and Hemlock are like four new additions. They've never been my top artists before. Obviously, I love all four of them, and all four of them had new albums come out this year. So it does make sense because these are the albums that came out this year that I was like obsessed with, fixated on. Renee Rapp's album is perfect. So is Olivia's. So is Chapel's. So is Hemlock Springs. These are four women that I just have been loving this year, so it makes sense. Even though there's a part of me that was like, oh my God, where the fuck is Lady Gaga? Because like at the end of the day, that's the woman I would die for. At the end of the day, that's the only woman on planet Earth that if you lined up every woman in the world and was like, pick one, I'm sorry to everyone that I've ever known and loved. I'm picking Lady Gaga, bitch. I'm picking Miss Stephanie Germanotta. All right. She needs to be here on this earth. She is so important to me and to everyone else. Okay. It is my firm belief that Lady Gaga has rerouted the trajectory of the earth. Okay. This woman is powerful. We need her here. I'm saving her. Gun to my head. Picking her every time. Rest in peace to the rest of y'all bitches. I'm sorry. But she's not on my top five this year. So welcome, Renee Rapp, Olivia Rodrigo, Chaperon, and Hemlock Springs to my top five. Charlie, welcome back. Love to see you here, bestie. And my top songs were... I understood it. I did. Most of them. My top song, I was a little shocked about because I remember listening to this song a lot at the beginning of the year, but I don't think I've listened to it since like March. So I was like, how the fuck much did I listen to this song? My top song of the year was The One by Injie. I don't even know if that's how you say their name. I-N-J-I. I'm in my head, that's Injie. But I guess it, I mean, I don't know what else it would be, to be honest with you. The One. I got 2-3 lovers in my life, 4-5 fellas on my mind, 6-7 blowing up my line, 8-9 telling me I'm fine. I guess that's my top song of the year. I listened to it a lot at the beginning of the year and then never again. So when it appeared, I was like, whoa, what happened there? Number 2 was Too Well by Renee Rapp. Checks out. Number 3 was Scarlet by Holly Humberstone, which also checks out. That was a song that I was scream singing this summer all the fucking time. I just cried all my summer away. Maybe, bitch. I don't know. Number 4 was Sever the Blight by Hemlock Springs. Banger. She did what she needed to do. She got in the stew and she said, we're making bangers and bops and hits today. And number 5, this is the one I'm being made fun of for by my friends, but this is actually the one that I feel the most confident about. This is the one that I feel is like really rightfully deserves a spot in my top 5. And it is Who's That Chick by David Guetta featuring Rihanna. Fucking obviously it is. I love that song, bitch. I'm pretty sure this song is always on my like top 100 at the end of the year, along with Hot Mess by Cobra Starship. And don't you fucking forget it. But this is the first year it's been in my top 5. And the reason why is because it was probably in like May. I took a dance class and we danced to Who's That Chick. And I loved the combo and it just like resurrected my love for the song in a more active way. It was like I spent most of this year feeling like Who's That Chick had just come out. It was like I was transported back to, you know, the prime of my life, really, middle school. When I loved music and media the most. Okay, the years 2008 to 2012. It hasn't been better since then. Okay, I was living my best days and I didn't even fucking know it. So I was teleported back and Who's That Chick, you know, just regained importance to me in a way that none of you bitches understand. Okay, and I don't expect you to understand greatness, but that's what was going on here. Okay, me and David Guetta, we were cooking stuff up this year. And that's how Who's That Chick ended up on my top songs list on Spotify. I'm dying for YouTube to do a end of year rap though, which I know they do it for YouTube Music. I don't give a shit about that. Who uses YouTube Music? Oh, you do? Oh, so sad. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck about YouTube Music Wrapped. I want YouTube Wrapped. Okay, and you can even say we're reinventing the rewind and it's going to be called YouTube Rewind and it's just Spotify Wrapped ripped for YouTube. I want to know how many hours I spent watching Among Us videos this year, bitch. Okay, because I know it's a lot. Because something that you guys might not know about me is that I eat all of my meals while watching Among Us videos. And you can be a hater for that. And you can call me an 11-year-old boy. And maybe in some ways I am, okay? All I know is that I am so entertained by that goddamn game. And those of you that are not Among Us heads have no idea, right? Because it's different than it was when the game first started. Now everybody, they have all these fucking I don't even know what you would call them, not expansion packs, but like add-ons that people have made where you get everybody in the lobby gets a role. So it's not just imposters and crewmates. Fuck you. I know you're laughing at me at home and you suck that laugh right back up in your throat, bitch, because it's a good game and I can't even play it because it can't work on Mac. And then you have to download this thing that makes like your computer mimic like it's a Windows thing. But then I can't download the fucking expansion pack thing. It's just a mess, right? I can't play the game. All I can do is watch. So I put in my hours watching Among Us videos and I enjoy myself and I have a good life and I'm fulfilled. And I have my 10 streamers that I like watching and they all play Among Us with each other. And I watch the same games from all of their perspectives, so I never run out of Among Us to watch, okay? I'm strategizing. I'm getting in there. I'm understanding the nitty-gritty of this game. So that way, when I do get my chance to play Among Us, I don't know where I'm going to find this group of people to play Among Us with. But when I do get my chance to play Among Us, guess who's going to be the best fucking player? And they're going to be like, Maddie, what the hell? Have you ever played Among Us before? And I'm going to be like, no, I played it, you know, a few times. Beginning of the pandemic, the same as everybody fucking else did, but I've never played with all these new roles, and that'll be the truth. But the other part of the truth is that I've logged hundreds of hours observing other people play Among Us. Among Us. And I actually fear to find out how many hours I've spent watching Among Us videos because it's more than anybody wants to know that it is. Like, I feel like sometimes when I say things like this, people think I'm joking. I'm not joking. It's hours of Among Us content. I watch Among Us videos every day. Every day. And I love it and I'm not going to stop. And you can't form an intervention for me because I won't have it. You're not going to take my Among Us videos away from me. Okay, can you guys hear that? I swear to God, my neighbor's trying to become a fucking DJ or something because he is bumping at all hours of the day. I have headphones on right now, partially so that I can't hear him doing this. But I wonder if you guys can even hear the bass is shaking this whole fucking apartment right now. And you know what? Live your life. Live your best DJ dreams, bestie. But I'd like to put in some song requests because I've heard a few techno remixes of songs that I didn't even realize anybody would want a techno remix of. One time I was sitting here with one of my friends and we had we were just listening. Trying to identify which songs it was. I heard Thriller, and I was like, that's Thriller. And then it went from Thriller into what can only be described as a techno remix of somebody I used to know. I was like, who? What audience is this for? Who is listening to techno remixes of somebody I used to know? Maybe they are. Like, maybe they're not living a DJ fantasy, and this is just like they're working or vibing or doing whatever to this type of music. It's, I guess that's somebody's bread and butter, somebody's something. I get that I don't have any room to make fun of anybody because Who's That Chick is in my top five, but that's a banger and a bop. Okay, I actually won't hear any criticism about it. Wild though, I really feel like I'm at a rave. Anyways, back to what I was saying. YouTube Wrapped. I want them to give me a summary of how many hours I spent watching YouTube videos. Because here's the thing. Some people have like absurd amount of minutes on their Spotify Wrapped. Like they've listened to like 100,000 plus minutes of music on Spotify, which seems wild to me. I'm assuming a lot of those people that are logging that many minutes in their Spotify Wrapped is because they're either sleeping to like sleep sounds, or they listen to a bunch of podcasts on Spotify. I listen to a bunch of podcasts, but I'm a YouTube podcast girl. I like to look at people's faces. I like to throw them up on my TV and walk around and clean and look back up and see what they're doing. And I don't know, just like put a human to the voice that I'm hearing. So I feel like if you added together what I'm sure are absurd numbers for me on YouTube plus Spotify, I might beat those people out for how many minutes we're logging. Because Lord knows I'm online as hell, so I can't judge anyone else for how many fucking minutes, hours they're logging throughout the year listening to music or doing whatever else on their phone. I live on the internet, and I'm sure my minutes are out of control, but YouTube won't give me access to them. I need you to do a Wrapped. I do. Because I know I've been putting in hours, dude. Let me feel like I've achieved something. Give me an award for the amount of hours I put in to listening to pop culture deep dives, Among Us videos, in the H3 podcast, okay? You guys don't even want to know the amount of hours that I've been logging. All right. Somebody sent me a link to this website that you can upload your watch history into. You can like request the data from your Google account, what your watch history was, and upload it to this website. And it's supposed to, it like simulates a Wrapped for you. But I've got questions about it, because I'm like, if it's just pulling my watch history, does it know how much of the video that I watched, or is it just pulling the video and assuming I watched the whole thing? Anyways, I tried to do it, but I guess I pulled the data from the wrong account, because it said that I had only watched 3 YouTube channels in the year of 2023. And I was like, so that's for sure wrong. And one of the 3 channels was my own fucking YouTube channel. So I was like, okay, so this is for sure incorrect. That's the other thing, is I'm sure that I'm going to be in my most watched on YouTube if it's just pulling watch history, because I have to watch all my videos before they go live to just scan them and make sure it looks good, everything exported correctly. So I'm watching all of my videos all the way through before it goes live. So that's a lot of hours. And you know what? Sometimes I'll listen to the podcast all the way through too. That happens less, I'll be honest, because it's just a time commitment listening to myself all the way through after I just spent the whole time editing it. So it's like, okay, I listened to all of this. I'm the one who edited it. I know what I talk about. I know what I say. But sometimes I'll listen to it back too, just to make sure that it all sounds good and I did it correctly. So anyways, that's a lot of hours that are being logged that are me. But it's like, that's not my watch habits. You're not learning anything about me as a listener, as a watcher, by including those stats in my stats. Like, that's my work, that's my job. Those are my own videos. Me watching them is not me like, oh, let me sit down and enjoy this video that I just fucking made. That's me just doing a double check to make sure it's good before it gets fucking published. So I don't know. YouTube, I feel like we should have gotten on this by now. When YouTube Rewind died, you should have just rebranded it as like an individual YouTube Rewind and sent us the stats that I know that you have, but now I have to fucking go into the back end, request these stats, and submit them to this random website. And I couldn't even do it correctly. I requested the wrong account. So I don't know. It's just too complicated. I know that it exists. I have the link. You don't need to send it to me. I know it exists and it's a thing, but I just want YouTube to do it in the same way that Spotify does. And it's just like a rollout. And it's like, here's how many minutes you spent watching fuck all on the internet. Truth would be revealed. And you know what? That's the stuff I'm more interested to hear about in other people. I think that we would learn more about someone from getting to deep dive in their YouTube history than we do listening to like their Spotify history. Like, do you feel like you know more about me knowing that I listen to a lot of Renee rap? Like, probably not, right? Like, so does every other bisexual bitch in Brooklyn, all right? It's, we're all on the same page here. We all listen to a lot of Renee rap and Chapel Roan this year. What would really be revealing is if you got to really see the breakdown of the YouTube videos I'm watching, okay? And I'm just fascinated to see it. Like, I know who I'm probably watching the most, but also the subscriptions feed is basically an obsolete feature to me with YouTube at the minute because of how shorts have ruined it for me. I know that there's a plugin. I haven't installed it. I need to fucking install it. But also, I'm watching YouTube videos on my TV a lot, and so it doesn't help, because the subscriptions feed when you're doing it on your TV is still flooded in shorts. So I never check my subscriptions box anymore because I can't filter shorts out. So it's like I'm not seeing anything I want to see anyway. So the videos I do end up watching are just the ones that get pushed to my recommended into my homepage. So I'm interested to know how that's impacted my like watch habits over the last year, or like who my top YouTubers would be now that I'm not like seeking out anybody's content through my subscriptions box anymore, which is really a shame because there are a lot of creators that I really love and enjoy the content of and absolutely miss it and don't see it because I can't use my subscription box anymore because YouTube wants to push shorts and I won't have it. I'm not interested in it. I don't want shorts. If I wanted shorts, I would go on any other fucking app because that's all the YouTube shorts are anyways. They're just reposts from Instagram and TikTok. All of these short form videos, they exist on all platforms. It's the same video that exists everywhere. I don't need to see it. I only want long form content on YouTube. Just stick to what you know. Stick to what you know. Stick to what you're good at. Stay in your own fucking lane. Nobody can do long form content like YouTube can. So just stick to it. Do shit for the long form girlies. And that's it. I don't want all of it. Anyways. Ugh. Makes me so irritated. But you know what? I know that you guys are on the same page as me about that because in the back end on YouTube, it tells me what my audience is interested in and what you guys watch the most of, like the types of YouTube content. And it always says like viewers of your channel don't really engage with shorts that much. And I'm like, period. That's right. They fucking don't. I don't either. So thank God you people don't want me to do shorts because that would be such a waste. Such a waste. As the weeks go on here, I'm seeing more and more salt burn slander and it's actually pissing me off. Like genuinely is making me mad. It still feels like overwhelmingly positive on my timelines and like the reviews of the film on Letterboxd. I want to say it has like a 3.8 average, which I would average it higher, but 3.8 average is good. And I feel like on my timelines, people are living, laughing, and loving for it. They're eating it up, right? This is a horny bisexual fantasy. This is bisexual freak shit, okay? And I follow a lot of bisexual freaks. So, of course, the bisexual freak community loves this shit because why wouldn't you? But genuinely, the people that dislike this movie, like, it actually is making me mad when people don't like it. Because it makes me be like, God, you just don't get it, don't you? It, like, resurrects the way that I felt. This is an extreme comparison, but it's the same root feeling. And what I'll say is, what I'm feeling right now is very reminiscent to what I felt being a Lady Gaga fan in the years 2009 and 2010, okay? Because obviously, Lady Gaga was very popular in those years. She was very loved, but she was also a very sometimes controversial and polarizing figure, okay? Having to be in the 7th and 8th grade, going to school and defending, using your every last fighting breath to defend the meat dress, okay? You don't understand what it was like. I was in the fucking trenches for this woman. And we did what we needed to do. And I looked at all those fucking people and I said, you are normies and you don't fucking get it. Just say you don't get the vision. You don't fucking get it and boo-hoo, you don't get it. And that's on you that you don't get it, all right? You don't see the vision. You're just not with the vibe. And that's that on that. The other bisexual freaks understood the vibe when Lady Gaga was being weird in 2009, 2010. And now that Saltburn is here and it's happening and the bisexual freaks love it, we have a few anti-bisexual freaks coming out of the woodwork to be like, don't get it. Not into it. What was the bathtub scene about? And all I have to say to you is, I'm so sad that you don't get it. I'm sad for you. Because it's such a loss that you don't get it. That you don't see the vision and you live, laugh, and love for it, okay? Hedonism, babe. Lean into it for a second. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life. Enjoy this beautiful piece of horny bisexual art, okay? She served it to you on a silver platter and you had the audacity never going to complain. Emerald, I'm riding and dying for you for this movie. Because I love it. I love Saltburn, okay? And now I'm going to talk about it. I have held myself back from talking about it because I understand that it's recent and people don't want me to spoil it for them. But I went and saw Saltburn one of the first days that it was out in New York City with my friend Jordan. And there were two scenes in the movie that got like such a visceral audience reaction that made me be like, okay, a census needs to be taken in this fucking theater right now. Because what are you guys on about? Number one, the bathtub scene. If you don't know and you don't care about me spoiling it. Basically, there is a scene in which Oliver, one of our main characters, watches Felix masturbating in a bathtub through the crack of a door. And then Felix gets up out of the bathtub, leaves. And when he leaves and the bathtub is draining, Oliver walks in, steps into the bathtub and drinks the bath water as it's draining. His cum bath water. He sucks it out of the drain. And it's beautiful and gorgeous. And I loved every second of it. And I lived and I laughed and I loved. And I felt seen in that moment. Because you know what? Freak bitches understand. People in that movie theater were like, oh, what the hell? Oh! Like, they were like, my eyes. And I was like, come on, guys. You've never in your life looked at someone and thought, I would drink their bathwater. Okay, then fuck you. Then fuck you. You don't fucking get it. Because I got it. I fully understood. And I would have done the same thing. If I saw Jacob Elordi with an eyebrow piercing, pff, I am not above that. I am not better than him. Okay? I saw it. I saw the vision. We had that reaction from that scene. Shortly after that scene, there is a scene where, and I get that some people think this line is corny, but I don't give a shit. I don't care. I like it. And it was hot to me. All right. I did think about it a little bit afterwards. But Oliver is sitting outside with Felix's sister. And they're getting a little flirty and he goes to eat her out and she's like, oh, I'm on my period. It's not the right time of the month. And he was like, good thing I'm a vampire. And then he goes down on her. And I said, what about it? And I said, yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. And that's what he should have done. And he did what any of us would have done. Any of us with taste would have done in that moment. Okay? I've said it before. And I don't feel bad about it. I fucking don't. It would be so, like, punch a fist through the wall hot to me if someone did that. If I was like, oh, sorry. Like, trust me, I want this badly right now. But it can't happen because of my period. And they were like, I don't give a shit. And they I would literally be like, punching the air. I'd be going back to my primal roots, okay? I'd be grunting. There's just something about that. I get it. I get that you people don't see the vision. And there are people in the audience being like, oh my God. And then after the screaming and the horror had washed over these anti-freaks that were in the theater, somebody in the back was like, yeah. And I was like, and that's what I was thinking. And I was here like, maybe we should start a round of applause. Should we start doing the wave? Like, let's get this man an award for the community service he's just done on the big screen for all of us. I guess, you know what? And I should have expected this. I should have expected that freak shit isn't going to be for everyone. But freak shit is for me. Okay, it is. This movie was made for Maddie Drosbeck. Madison Lynn, baby. This movie, Emerald, she was sat up in there writing up this script, directing this, and she was in her brain. This like question mark audience that she was building this movie for, it was me, okay? I am the target demographic for this movie. Freak bisexual shit. Yeah, baby. Sign me up. And Rosamund Pike. I'm hyperventilating. So good. But the fact that so many people in that theater had like a visceral negative reaction to those scenes, I was like, you guys just don't get it. And it does bring me back to being an early stage Lady Gaga fan, having to explain every choice that she made, being like, it's not gross, it's cool. That's how I feel with Saltburn. It's not gross, it's fucking cool. And more of you should consider adopting these behaviors. And since this really is the bisexual episode, let's not stop there, okay? Let's not fucking stop there. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, because I want to talk about Billie Eilish and some of the conversation around her sexuality that has existed for a while now. For years, Billie Eilish has been accused of queer baiting, which I think is ridiculous. I don't think that queer baiting is something that, like, living individual people can do. I also don't think that somebody's sexuality is information that anybody is owed, whether you are a regular everyday person or a celebrity. I don't believe that any of us are owed that information to each other. And I just think accusing, like, a real person of queer baiting is ridiculous and harmful, and it forces people to come out because they're being harassed and berated by people telling them that they are pretending to be queer or, like, appealing to queer culture without officially coming out. So they're baiting their queer fans. It doesn't hold up. Queer baiting is not a word that was intended to be used outside of the context of, like, marketing tactics, TV shows and movies that try to play to and appeal to queer audiences without doing any of the labor to include or actually support these communities. Using queerness to attract an audience, to make money, using the fact that you're half appealing to this crowd without actually doing the work and, like, including queer writers or making these characters fully fleshed out, or like claiming that a character is queer when there's, like, absolutely no writing to support that this character actually was intended to be queer. Like, I think there is, that's what the word is intended to mean, not just, like, a everyday person or a celebrity like Billie who hasn't publicly defined their sexuality for people in the past, and people essentially getting frustrated that she hasn't labeled herself and being like, oh, well, you're queer baiting because you haven't labeled yourself, but you're still hinting at the fact that you could be queer or being more casual about it. But at the same time, these are the same people that are like, you shouldn't have to come out. So it's like, it's just so backwards and it's really fucked up. And I, you know, like everyone else, have seen these accusations over the years. She's not the only one. A lot of other celebrities have been forced to come out because of queer baiting accusations. So this week, Billie was on a red carpet and she's being interviewed by Variety. And they asked her about how in the past she had said that she was scared of, intimidated by women, felt like women didn't like her. And they asked, like, had that changed? Does she feel any different now? And Billie was like, oh, I'm for sure still scared of women, but they're just so pretty, or something like that. And the interviewer was immediately like, her response to that was to say, did you mean to say that? Did you just accidentally come out? And Billie was like, no, I didn't realize I had to come out. It felt a little obvious. No, I felt like people knew. And she was put in kind of a strange position. And when I saw this interview clip, I really empathized a lot with Billie and this woman, because I didn't really love the interviewer's reaction here either. It's kind of very connected to why I haven't wanted to talk about my sexuality on the internet in the past. And why I really haven't talked about it much up until now. I think that I have done what Billie has done a lot over the last few years, where I'll say something or casually drop something in there that lets people know that I am queer and that I do like women and that that's a part of me, but without making it a bigger deal, because it doesn't need to be a bigger deal than that. And so I'll drop it in and I'll say it. And if people want to hear what I said, then they can. And if they want to just brush over it or, you know, ignore what I said, then they can do that too. And there's been a couple instances where I've dropped a little, you know, just side comment like this, and people have, like, freaked out in my comments and DMs. And I understand why people do, because, especially if you feel like you can relate to me on some level, and then learning this new fact about me, it just makes you feel more connected. And so you have like an excited reaction. I get that. And that's not what I am criticizing here, but there's definitely sometimes, and this is few and far between, but there's some people that are like, they demand more clarity there, and they get frustrated when you don't label yourself and put yourself in a more like well-defined box for them to understand. And I have always been so confused, like observing celebrities get hit with so much rage for not coming out, and or for coming out as bi. Because to me, it almost feels like people treat it like there's no difference. Like you either, you say nothing and you don't define your sexuality at all, and you just allude to the fact that you're queer, or you do come out and you label yourself as bisexual and you're still sort of hit with biphobia in a way that makes you feel like, well, maybe it would have been better if I just fucking didn't say anything. And I think observing how other people were treated in defining their sexualities really just fueled my own resistance to letting the internet in on this part of my life. I grew up a Gaga stan. I feel like I observed many times her be basically accused of faking her bisexuality every time she would date someone new publicly, and that someone was a man. These accusations would be brought up. She wasn't allowed to like fully be seen as like a queer person, at least in the eyes of the general public. And also there was, do you remember that one video? This stuck with me, but there's like that one video of someone at like a pride parade, and they get asked about Lady Gaga, and they're like, she's not even queer. And Lady Gaga is fully bisexual, but it's like, because people see her in relationships with men, it's like she's not allowed to be queer. She's not allowed to appear bisexual because she's not bisexual enough to you. And so I feel like I spent, you know, my young life admiring someone like her and really looking up to her and feeling like we had this thing in common. I related to her in this way, and observing the ways in which she was minimized and, you know, criticized for claiming that label. So in the same way that I'm watching people be criticized for not coming out and for just hinting at their sexualities, I'm also watching people come out and be criticized for using a label and told that they are not queer enough, not bisexual enough. So I feel like when I was in like middle and high school, I was still very like questioning all of it. It wasn't until I was in college, 18, 19, that I started like using the term bisexual to identify myself to like my friends and talking to people in my life about my sexuality. I've been on dating apps for men and women the entire time I've been on dating apps since I was 18. My own journey with my sexuality has been very, I don't know, it's been like an undercurrent throughout my life, this like thought that was just in the back of my brain. And I think luckily for me, it never really had to be a big deal, because I have been lucky enough to grow up around family and community where there are a lot of queer people in my life, and always have been. And there's a lot of support for the queer community. So it was never something that I felt stressed out about or that I needed to figure out. It was always like this, you know, passing question inside my brain. And it was just like, okay, I don't know, maybe I'll figure it out someday. Maybe I'll feel more certain of it someday. And then I'm getting older and I'm starting to feel more clear on my feelings. And then it was just like, okay. And now I talk to my friends about it, and you know, most of my friends are queer too. And so it just was never a big deal. It was just like, yeah, fucking everyone's bi, isn't it? Because that's how it sort of felt in my own community, in my own life. And so it's never been a huge deal to me in my personal life. It was the bringing it to the internet part that I was so resistant to, because it's not a big deal in my day-to-day life. And my friends aren't going to hold me to the standard of being the world's perfect bisexual and being the perfect 50-50 bisexual, which other bisexual people know doesn't exist and isn't real. But when you go to the internet and you have, when you're presenting this like vulnerable part of yourself to an audience, you're opening yourself up to criticisms that honestly, I didn't know that I could handle, that I didn't want to read, that I was like, I know I'm going to fail you. I know that I am not your picture perfect bisexual person. I know that my sexuality sometimes feels a little muddled and confusing. I don't really love any labels in general, really. And I think that's why I think more recently in life, I've leaned more towards just like labeling myself as queer rather than bisexual. I think bisexual probably feels the most, I don't know. Labels are for other people. They're not for me. I'm putting this label on myself so that you can better understand me, but it's not for me, right? Because I don't need to understand myself in a way that I need to put myself into a box. I know how I feel. I know that who I'm attracted to is just who I'm attracted to. And it is not really based upon anything other than the connection I have with that person. And I know that. And I don't need really a label to understand that. But if other people need a label to understand that, that's sure. You can call me bisexual, you can call me pansexual, call me queer. I don't really care because it's not that important to me when it comes to understanding myself or my immediate community understanding me. My friends don't need to put me in a box in order to understand me. My family doesn't need to put me in a box in order to understand me. I can just be me. I can just be Maddie and I can explore and indulge and question my sexuality all I want, and no one's going to be like, decide now, put yourself in a box now. What do you mean you just like who you like? Fucking define it for me, make it clearer. Like I don't need to do that with people in my life the way that I've seen people on the internet demand that from people when they hint at their sexuality or outright come out. So even though within my personal life, my sexuality has been a very open topic of conversation for years, it's not something that I've ever really shared on the internet. And I'm not saying this is the start of me sharing it, by the way. I don't know that I will ever want to fully indulge all parts of my sexuality on the internet because I just don't know that I feel comfortable letting myself be picked apart in that way. I don't know. It's something I'm navigating and figuring out as I go. It's just like the thought of even like addressing it in a more direct way and talking about it. And then from this point forward, having the expectations change for what people expect me to share. And like now having to like really fit into the mold of the perfect bisexual in the eyes of these people, that's been overwhelming to me because I will fail. I'm telling you right now, I will fail. I am not the perfect bisexual and I actually don't want to be. I actually don't give a fuck what you want me to be or what would be more comfortable, easier for you to understand me. I am who I am and like it is what it is. And it's not something that you can just like so easily put me in a box and I'm just not going to fit in it. It's not going to work that way. And in my head, when I was in college and I was going on dates with women for the first time, I was always like, maybe when I have my first queer sexual experience, I will feel comfortable talking about it. Because there was also a side of me inside my brain that was like, well, I can't talk about my bisexuality because if I do, then people are going to be like, okay, we'll prove it. And at that point in time, I had only ever, I mean, throughout my middle and high school years, I had zero sexual experiences. And then I was hooking up with men for most of college and I didn't have a queer sexual experience until after I had graduated college. And obviously, I don't hold the belief that somebody's sexual experiences define or inform their sexuality in a way that they can't articulate to you before those sexual experiences happen. I am bisexual whether or not I have had a queer sexual experience. I know that, but that is how people treat bisexual people, where they're like, okay, clearly you like men, but do you really like women or are you just saying that? Like, prove it. The first follow-up question being like, okay, but have you had sex with a woman? And I feel like the like anticipating that response made me not want to say anything because it's like, okay, if I'm going to need to prove my bisexuality to these people, then I don't need to include these people. Like, it's not important for me to tell the whole world what my sexuality is. If it's just my inner circle, the people closest to me that know this about me, then that's fine with me. And I don't need it to be like a big, large, huge thing. But I was riddled with worries for how people were going to react or what standards I was going to be held to. And I think when I was in college, I always thought that that feeling would change when I had my first queer sexual experience. And I would be like, okay, well, now I can talk about it. And then I had my first queer sexual experience, and it also happened to be a very negative experience for me. And that was an additional layer of hard, because I wish that I could have had a more positive and safe first queer experience. But that's not what happened. So then I felt like I couldn't talk about it, because I didn't ever want to like have to address this like piece of trauma that I was now carrying with me. And, you know, that's still not something that I've talked about, and I probably never will, because I don't feel like that's the internet's business to know all of like the worst things that have ever happened to me. But know that that was difficult. And that is like a layer here, another layer for why it was difficult for me to talk about or even like fully own and like publicly talk about on the internet, because of this thing that happened that felt like I couldn't talk about being queer without this question being brought up and knowing that I have trauma attached to this question. So if people are going to ask me about my queer sexual experiences and need to have that proof in order to see me as bisexual, and they're going to bring this up every single time I allude to my sexuality or talk about it, then I'm just not going to talk about it, because I don't want my trauma to be brought up every single time I try to talk about my sexuality online. So that's another layer of it that made me be like, I don't want to talk about this. The first time that I did talk about my sexuality online, because every time I talk about this, people are like, Maddie's bi? Which is funny to me, because I do feel like I've alluded to it or said it briefly enough times now. But, you know, I get that not everyone sees everything. But the first time I ever talked about it was like two years ago, I think. I'll pull it up. But it was in a book review that I posted on my Instagram story. So if you tapped through my Instagram story and were like, a book review? Boring. You missed out on some serious juice, because the first time that I posted about my sexuality online was when I had read the book Greedy by Jen Winston, which is a book about bisexuality. And it was a book that really resonated with me and that I just felt very connected to. And here, I'll read my review for it. Love, love, loved this one. Read it all in a day because I couldn't get enough of it. It captured so many feelings that feel true to my own experience. The indecisiveness, the confusion, the clinging on to how easy it feels to indulge in my interest in men and ignoring the other, more fluid parts of my sexuality. Talking about bisexuality has been something I've kept confined to close friends, maybe blurting out that I've gone on dates with women in front of my family while day drunk on vacation, but something that's mostly just sat inside my own brain. Too overwhelmed and confused to indulge too much, a fluctuating indifference towards choosing a label because I just like anyone, and does it really matter if I announce it? Reading comments and DMs from people exclaiming they wished I was bi, a part of me screaming, but I am, and the other part telling myself to be quiet and not respond. All the while, I'm left with a lingering feeling that I'm too femme to be perceived as bi by anyone who might be interested, and with enough interest in men to distract myself and avoid thinking about it altogether. I love this book because it captured so much of my own experience in a way that made the confusion and overwhelm feel like an okay feeling to just sit in. For someone who loves to talk about sex on the internet, I really haven't talked much about my sexuality, and I don't know if I'll ever really want to. It's complicated and confusing and overwhelming, and I guess that's as bisexual as it gets. Such an impactful book, definitely recommend. It's actually interesting to read back now, because that's definitely how I felt at the time. It's not completely how I feel now, which is awesome. I think that actually feels really good to be able to read and know that I've become more comfortable with my sexuality in the last 2 years. That's actually really great. Obviously, I know that, but there's something about like hearing my words that I wrote 2 years ago repeated back to me that are resonating with me right now. But I felt like I couldn't even talk about the like more confusing parts of my sexuality, the overwhelming parts, the indecisiveness. I felt like all of that was like not pretty enough to talk about on the internet, or if I did talk about it, people would be like, oh, so you're faking it, so you're lying. And it felt like there was no room to be like a confused bisexual, to be someone who was like, well, I feel this way, but you're going to ask me for proof that I don't have, or proof that I don't want to talk about if you talked to, you know, older Maddie. And, you know, this wasn't a part of myself that I was born understanding. This wasn't something that I thought about my whole young life. It was a passing thought that I sometimes engaged with, and it didn't really become a more central part of my life until I was older, until I was in college. And by then I had indulged in so much social media content, witnessed so many other people come out as bi on the internet, and felt panicked seeing the responses that they got and seeing how badly people on the internet want you to be the perfect bisexual. And then there came all these worries inside my own brain that was like, well, okay, so let's say I do just like let it rip and let everyone like really know where I stand, let everyone fully into this part of my life. Then comes the analysis that I don't want to deal with. If I talk about a potential future partner, I'm talking about this like imagined future, and I use male pronouns when I'm talking about this fake imagined potential future, if people get mad at me for doing that, if people start taking stats on how much I talk about men versus women on the podcast or in my videos, how many dates I go on with men versus women, the idea of people analyzing me and picking me apart to make sure that I am the perfect bisexual to them, and that they can put me in a box that they understand, that they feel the most comfortable with, knowing that I'm probably going to fail them, makes me not want to say anything at all. And you know what? I love indulging in conversation about this with other queer people and other bisexual people, because it's like this pressure to be a type of bisexual that literally doesn't exist, that just, it gets me fired up. And I know that other queer people, other bisexual people, do not expect you to be like 50-50. You date 50% men and 50% women, and we're making sure these stats are equal, baby. Justice. Like, no other bisexual person on planet Earth is sitting there analyzing themselves, making sure that they are clean even, and or even that their attraction is clean even. Like, that doesn't exist. But I think that people want to view bisexuality as like a 50-50 sort of thing, and it's just, I'm not gonna fit into that box. I know I'm not. I'm gonna fail you, and then you're gonna yell at me. And I don't know if this is a topic that I can take that about. I don't know if it is. And even as I'm saying this, I don't know that it is. There's a part of me that still feels like, do I even really want to talk about this? And obviously I have so much to say, and I wouldn't be posting this if I didn't feel certain that I felt comfortable talking about it at this time. So please don't worry about me. But I don't know that I'll ever feel like completely ready to fully let everyone in. So don't take this as me being like, and now we're just going to talk about bisexuality willy-nilly on this thing, because I don't know if we will. But this pressure and how you're being perceived and having to live up to people's expectations for bisexuality, and if you don't, you're going to get yelled at queer baiting or yelled at for taking up space that isn't yours. And I just don't have the energy to fight with people about that I don't know. When everyone in my life knows this about me, I'm actively interested in and open to dating both men and women, I don't really give a fuck if this random person on the internet is like, but you're not bisexual enough for me. And it's like, okay, you and I aren't dating. You're not a part of my inner circle. Like, I don't need to appeal to what would make you the most comfortable with my sexuality. I'm sorry if my sexuality is not as clean cut as you want it to be. I'm sorry. But I am who I am, and you're not a part of my life, and you don't know me, and you'll never date me. So I guess it really doesn't fucking matter, does it? And I find it really strange that for years people were like, oh, I can't wait to see the day where people won't have to come out anymore. And then you have a massive celebrity like Billie that is basically trying to do that. She's trying to just be like casual about the fact that she's queer, but you have people responding to her being like, is this you coming out? Which is fucking annoying, because it's like, no, like why do you always make it into this huge fucking thing when it doesn't have to be and it shouldn't be? And I was trying to not make it a huge thing because it's fucking uncomfortable, like how invested these strangers are in other people's sexuality. Like, why the fuck? Just let the girl live, god damn it. And I completely get it, the just wanting to slip into conversation casually that you're attracted to women, that you identify within the queer community. That's what I've been doing. Clearly, I fucking get it. Because I've wanted people to know that I'm queer. I've wanted to like affirm to the online queer community, the queer, you know, people that watch this show. I've wanted to affirm that like, hey, bestie. Me too. But I've also been like, God, how awful to say that and be more direct about it and then be held to all these arbitrary standards of being the perfect queer, knowing that I'm going to fail you and that I don't fit the bill of the perfect queer. And I will use the term bisexual if it makes people more comfortable and that's the box that people want to put me in. But I don't necessarily use a label for myself. Also, the other side of this, it feels so minimizing as a bisexual person when people tell you to just date women. And I think this is a reaction that I've had online quite a bit. I don't know if people know that I'm bi or not. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I think sometimes when I've shared like my frustrations in dating or some reflections that I've had in dating, not even necessarily frustrations, just like sharing that I went on a date with someone and it didn't work and we're not on the same pages communication wise. They're just not up to par. Emotional intelligence was not where I needed it to be. And I was not even necessarily frustrated with that, just expressing that this is what it is. These are the facts of the situation. And the amount of responses that I've gotten from people telling me that I should just be dating women, and they're announcing it like they're reinventing the fucking wheel. Like, God, you're just so silly, Maddie. You really want a man that's emotionally aware and gentle and nice to you? Like, get real. You want a woman. That man doesn't even exist. Men don't behave like that. And it feels like very belittling and like condescending when people say things like that. And I know that it's probably not the intention, but impact and intention are two different things. And those comments, I read shit like that and my reaction is like, number one, I do date women. Two, I don't believe in babying men and acting like they're incapable of emotional depth, because I feel like that's part of the fucking issue. There are plenty of men that are capable of emotional depth and having deeply fulfilling, loving partnerships with me in the way that I desire, the same way there are plenty of women that are. And number three, I can like both. Me having a very real attraction to men doesn't take away my very real attraction to women. And I'm sorry that there are some people out there that can't fucking understand that. But it does feel really frustrating to me being a bisexual person and describing what it is that I want or that I'm looking for in a relationship and having the reaction be, oh, well, you're just looking for a woman then. And I'm like, no. Me wanting an emotionally intelligent, gentle, kind, loving, supportive partner does not mean, oh, you don't actually like men. You just like women and you're covering it up and you're saying this and... You just get real, Maddie. Get serious. You just want to date a woman. And it's like, maybe I'm open to both, but don't frame it like that. Like I'm some big dumbass that just like, oh, you don't actually like men. You just like women. The type of partner you're describing isn't a man. Like it might be, and it might not be. And I'd be cool with either fucking option, but don't try to put me in a box that is easier for you to understand. That's the part that pisses me off. So anyways, witnessing all this Billie Eilish stuff just got me thinking and reflecting and rustled up some of my own frustrations in being a overwhelmed bisexual with messy feelings, just feeling like I am not ever gonna fit into you know, the internet's perfect box for what I should be. So then I say nothing, but also wanting to acknowledge my queer self, but also wanting to acknowledge my queer self because I want to connect with my queer community online. And I feel like a lot of you already know this about me. And it wasn't a surprise that I'm queer. But for those of you that didn't know, I'm glad that now you do know. And I'm glad that it doesn't have to be a big fucking deal. Please. So anyways, I know that some people are probably going to listen to this episode and be like, damn, look up overthinking in the dictionary and you'll see this bitch. And to that I say, absolutely, you're right. But it's not like it comes from nowhere, right? I feel like my fear of people trying to make me into the perfect bisexual and being mad at me when I'm not, it doesn't come from nowhere. It comes because I've witnessed it happen to other people. But I hope that there is someone out there that relates, that understands, that maybe has felt the same kind of overwhelming confusion and pressure to put yourself in a box that you don't really feel like you fit into, pressure to define yourself, to come to some grand conclusion about who you are when you're not even really sure if the grand conclusion exists. You just like who you like and you date who you date, and it's not deeper than that. You're not analyzing yourself and running the stats. You're just open. You're just fluid. That's probably more confusing for other people than it is for you and I. Because to me, I feel like I was more confused trying to fit how I felt into how I thought other people wanted me to feel. But when I'm sitting with just myself and my friends, and I'm allowed and encouraged even to exist in this more fluid in-between space of like, yeah, I kind of like whoever. And I don't really need to define myself so clearly in order to feel connected to my sexuality. And I'm very lucky to have a large community of other queer people in my life that feel very similarly. I feel like it's the Bushwick bisexuals, baby. I definitely feel lucky to be in a community where it is just like, yeah, we all feel this way. It's just not a big deal at all. Because it's allowed me to have a much more open-minded and accepting relationship with myself, moving through these more confusing feelings when I have felt overwhelmed or like I didn't fully understand how I felt or how to communicate that. And then, you know, learning that I could just sit where I was and that I didn't need to change how I felt or clean it up, make it a more palatable and presentable version of, you know, my sexuality when I could just exist and I could feel the way that I feel and I didn't need to change any of it. It just feels better. So anyways, I know I've said a lot of words and I don't know if it was the most clear. Maybe I was all over the place, but maybe that's the point. You know, maybe this was more for me than it was for any of you. So with that, this really was a love letter to every bisexual who wants too much out there. Definitely go read that book, Greedy by Jen Winston. Every bisexual should read that book. You will feel seen and loved by it. And it was wonderful, especially when at the time that I read it at, it was just the best thing to me. Anyways, thanks for hanging out with me. I'm going to go play Toontown as God intended, because that's what I do when I need to shut down my brain. I watch Among Us videos and play Toontown like an 11-year-old boy. And that is what it is for me. Okay? Don't try to put me in a box. Thanks for letting me create this space where I can show up as I am. As messy and imperfect as it may be, I am just a girl at a sleepover, okay? And I appreciate that you guys are here and that you're listening and that you're letting me be heard. And that's that. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Okay, it's your turn. Truth or dare?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.